sound like some Viking music, don't it?
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick it again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud, gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Shoot, lights out.
Welcome to Shooting Lights Out on this Tuesday edition. Yeah, didn't do it yesterday, so I had to do it today. I got to make sure y'all get your NBA Finals preview from me. Unfortunately, it will be only me today. Cole Johnson is stuck, busy doing things right now. But hey, I'm going to hold it down like I usually do on Shooting Lights Out. And we're going to talk about what happened, how we got to the NBA Finals with the Indiana Pacers and the Oklahoma City Thunder. We're also going to talk WNBA. We're going to recap the weekend that was in the WNBA. And then we're going to look forward to the week that was, because the Commissioner's Cup is up for grabs since we are in the month of June. And plus, we got news and notes, which is where we're going to start off with first. But first and foremost, thank you to everybody who's watching. If you're watching us on the Playmakers Blog YouTube page or the Playmakers Blog Twitter page, I thank y'all for tuning in on today. But let's get into our Around the Hardwood segment. In the Around the Hardwood segment, we're going to begin with the breaking news of the day. Tom Thibodeau is out as the New York Knicks head coach. This happened today around 2:45, 2 o'clock. First off, the defense playoff run in 25 years. New York Knicks fired coach Tom Thibodeau. The decision comes 2 days after the Knicks were ousted in the Eastern Conference Final in 6 games by the Indiana Pacers, their longtime rivals. But it also comes after the Knicks advanced further than ever expected in a relatively new core of players, knocking out the defending champ Boston Celtics in the second round. So Tom Thibodeau is out in New York. The Knicks will be searching for a new coach. See if they can get somebody that can possibly get them over the top. So there's many different reasons why they could have fired him. People thought he should have been fired after last year's exit by the Indiana Pacers, because Tom Thibodeau doesn't utilize a bench. But in this past series, he had to utilize a bench. Still came up short, though. It's going to be interesting to see who will be in line to be the next New York Knicks coach. Mark Jackson, anybody? Sam Cassell? Just a couple of names I just want to throw out there. Just a couple. But yes, Tom Thibodeau is out. It's going to be interesting to see where they go from here in that one. Now, let's get to what I already had planned for today. Had to talk about that. But Zion Williamson sued over allegations of rape and years of abuse. This article, and from ESPN, says a woman has accused New Orleans Pelicans for Zion Williamson for rape, in addition to sexual, physical, emotional, and financial abuse over the span of a multi-year relationship. This is according to a lawsuit submitted to the Los Angeles Supreme Court back on Thursday. The woman, who is identified as Jane Doe, accuses Williamson of a continuing pattern of abuse, controlling and threatening behavior over the course of a relationship that started during Zion Williamson's freshman year at Duke, which went from, so you're talking about 2018 all the way up to 2023. Civil complaint obtained by ESPN says Williamson's alleged actions occurred in multiple states, including Louisiana and California. The court findings detail two alleged incidents of rape in 2020, the first taking place that September in Beverly Hills, California. According to the complaint, the woman told Zion she was tired and wanted to go to sleep, but Zion told her she could not go to sleep without having sex with him. He then allegedly pinned her down with her hands behind her back and raped her. The filing added that Williamson threw the woman's phone across the room afterwards and choked her. The second alleged rape occurred in October of 2020. By the way, this is during COVID, by the way. Hope y'all know that. Also in Beverly Hills, the woman says she was violently raped after expressed plans to visit a friend in San Diego. In both instances, the woman accused Zion Williamson of taking her phone for a period of time. Boy, if Cole Johnson was here, I would literally disappear and let him just have his fun, because he is one that topic he was looking forward to. But he, since he's not here, I have no choice but to talk about this. And what's up, Victor? Thank you for joining. Go ahead and share this out for me if you don't mind. I'm in the building today. Before I dive into the article itself that I just read, there is a woman by the name of Mariah Mills who's been out here on social media taking shots at Zion Williamson, pretty much having the same complaint about Zion Williamson as this ESPN report is. I'm treating this as two different people. Now, if you want to say Mariah Mills is the one that's doing this, go for it. I'm just going to go with ESPN says Jane Doe and Mariah Mills is doing her own thing. This is why men, young men like Zion and Ed Edwards needs to stop doing what they're doing. I really hope Anthony Edwards is paying attention to what's going on in the Zion Williamson case. Not saying Zion is guilty, not saying that he's innocent, because I don't know. It's the way that this world is. People do shady stuff to get money. But I'm not saying that the woman who filed this complaint is doing such a thing. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying when money's involved, especially with somebody of Zion Williamson's status, some people do some shady things to get money out of certain people. Now, Mariah Mills, on the other hand, I don't know if you still are, but last time I heard, you was an adult industry actress. So it's going to be kind of hard to figure out if you are actually telling the truth or you just being one of those women. That's to put it politely. Because this is very interesting that we're saying this started back in 2018 when Zion Williamson was a freshman at Duke. And it continued on to 2 years ago. 2 years later, now we found the complaints of what happened 5 years ago. You know, it's a dicey situation here. But Zion, you put yourself in this position so you can say you, well, we haven't even heard from Zion Williamson as I checked. But if you want to come out and say you innocent, something, well, you still at fault because you put yourself in this predicament. And by the way, I like the second part that says she was planning to visit a friend in San Diego. You couldn't even travel. So, would she actually been able to go to a friend's house in San Diego from Beverly Hills in 2020? I'm just asking. Because if I remember correctly, you couldn't really do nothing in COVID, period. Especially in California, by the way. I need to talk to some friends that stayed in California during that period. Could somebody actually travel from Beverly Hills to San Diego during 2020 when we was in COVID? That's something I might want to ask. It's a lot of questions. surrounding this entire situation with Zion Williamson. But it was reported and it was put on ESPN, so I said I must talk about it. But Zion Williamson, you put yourself in this predicament for doing what you're doing. Was it right? Was it consensual? We may never know. It's your side, her side, and the truth is in the middle somewhere. And if this lady is telling the truth, then Zion Williamson, you need to face the consequences. But if she's not telling the truth and this is just a money grab, I would like to know who this person is. I like the world. I think the world would like to know who this person is, so we can stop having these types of false accusation on these celebrities so that the real victims of rape can actually get the justice that they deserve. If she's wrong. I'm saying if she's wrong. But knowing a case like this, this is going to take a while. And before we actually know what. And even if we do get a verdict, we still won't know the truth. But this is very interesting. Very interesting that Zion Williamson find himself in. I'm pretty sure the Pelicans are not pleased whatsoever that he's in this position to begin with. So Zion, what if you're innocent or not? The public eye is on you, sir. And it's not a good public eye to be in if I was you right about now. I want you to think it long and hard about how you're going to fight this, how you're going to deal with this, because this could be the downfall of Zion Williamson in the NBA. Just saying. From that to, let's go to college, because there's been a whole bunch of college news that came out. The Big 12 decided to drop to 18 games, goes beyond injury. They ain't the only ones that's going to 18 games. That'll be the ACC as well, because they are going from 20 to 18 games for the next season of basketball. And it's pretty simple. The Big 12, they want a nice structure of games, impactful games, more than they want more quality than quantity of games. Same thing with ACC. They want more quality than quantity of games. Less is more in this case. That's how the Big 12 and the ACC are looking at it. Especially the ACC, because they did not have a great 2024 year going into 2025. It was a very down year for the Atlantic Coast Conference. So they also decided to go down to 18 games for 20 conference games, by the way. And then we have this. The other news that I would lovely to let Kobe Johnson just have a ton of fun with, because this right here, this is where I really come in at now. NCAA president sees value in March Madness bracket expanding. NCAA President Charlie Baker said he sees value in expanding the NCAA tournament by a handful of teams and wants to reach a decision on the matter in the next few months. Baker spoke Thursday during the Big 12 spring meetings, where conference leaders are discussing everything from a multi-billion-dollar revenue sharing house settlement to complexities brought on by the transfer portal and the NIL. Baker discussed the idea of expanding from 68 teams to either 72 or 76. He said, quote, "We've had good conversation with CBS and Warner Brothers Discovery. Our goal here is to try to either a yes or a no in the next few months, because there's a lot of logistics at work that would be associated with doing this. If we were to go down this road, you just have to think about the opening weekends, who has to travel the longest. It gets complicated." Close quote. Mr. Baker, we don't need an expansion of the NCAA tournament. We don't need it. The NCAA tournament is for the teams that have done what they're supposed to have done during the regular season in the conference tournament. You money-grabbing piece of garbage needs to stop. You got your first four. Those four games, they are basically the play-in games of college basketball. The winners of those four games, they get into the field of 64, and we make our way down to the national championship. We do not need an extra round for the NCAA tournament. Because once you do that, you're going to put teams that don't deserve to get in even more. Did you not see what happened last year when you let North Carolina get in who didn't deserve to get in? Or how about Texas? Okay. What about the West Virginia who got snubbed? If y'all did your jobs correctly. No. You don't fix the problem by adding more teams. You fix the problem by following your freaking criteria and looking at every team like you're supposed to look at them to pick out your 68. We don't need 72. We don't need 76. 68, just the way it is. We don't need any more. If you want quality, tell these institutions, these schools, these basketball programs, when you get the schedule, work your schedule, do what you're supposed to do, and we will do our job. If you don't do your job, we're going to do our job and leave your butts out. Plain and simple. But you money-hungry honey idiots is finna ruin one of the best postseason events in all of sports. The only time teams that don't deserve to get in should get in is they win the conference tournament, which has happened when you talk about mid-majors. Or the year before last when you talk about NC State, who went on a complete tear in the ACC tournament two years ago, and got into the NCAA tournament, and then they went on a Final Four run. Outside of that, if you don't have the resume, you don't get in. Plain and simple. But if you add 4 to 8 more teams in, does resume even matter anymore? Does it even matter anymore? Do not. Y'all vote no on the expansion of March Madness. There's nothing wrong with the current style of March Madness. Do not dwindle it down by adding more teams. No, do not do it. It'll be stupid for y'all to do it. But no, y'all want more money. Y'all making enough money as it is. You're just coming off a tournament where all four number ones were in the Final Four. Which means you're going to get great basketball, which you got in the Final Four. And then the next championship went the way that it went. Shout out to Florida, by the way. Great job, fellas. Looking forward to running in the back. No. I would say that NIL and transfer portal has brought some parity to college sports. Some might think it's a bad thing. Some might think it's a good thing. But it's brought parity. You can't really pinpoint who's going to do what they're supposed to do. But, hey, it is what it is. We don't need nothing else added to it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Plain and simple. And I ain't even done with college yet. Because speaking of my Gators, the conference that we're in, the SEC, well, they're going to make sure y'all do not storm the court or rush the field. That's what they're doing. SEC increases fine to $500,000. Yeah, that's right. $500,000. $500,000. Yep. I was like, whoo, boy, I'm pretty sure schools ain't going to want to pay that fine right there. The SEC is ratcheting up penalties on schools whose fans storm the field or rush the court, doing away with the escalating fine system and now charging $500,000 per incident. Greg Sankey, the commissioner, said, quote, the motivation for fair rushing is fair rushing. The first time or the 18th time. The random nature of it. If you're the one getting rushed, it doesn't feel good. It might be the first time it happened. There. It might be the sixth time in a row. Literally. That's what he said. The article continues on to say the conference has the authority to weigh to find if the visiting team and officials are allowed to get into the locker room before the fans descend. Meaning they will allow you to rush the field, rush the court, if you allow the visiting opponent and the officials to get to the locker room first. And then you could descend upon the team and celebrate. But if you rush the field or the court while the officials and opposing team are still on the field, $500K you got to pay. Off rip. And if you do it again, it's another $500K. So two, and no, this is just ain't the season. This is the entire sports year. Football, basketball, baseball, whatever the case may be. So if you rush, if you storm the field, that's 500. If you storm the court, that's 500. Put together, the school paid $1 million for you fans for storming the court and the field. Are you sure you want to do that? So when you attend these games, be smart. Wait. Allow the opposing teams and the officials to leave the field or the courts before you descend upon the winning home team. Or else, that's a lot of money being coughed up by the school. And I'm pretty sure, and knowing how the SEC is, ain't none of them schools in the SEC want to cough up $500,000. Just so fans can enjoy themselves after a big, momentous win. Wait, give it a minute, and then do it. That's all they asking. But yeesh, $500,000. That's a lot. Y'all better think. And knowing people, they're gonna forget about this, and they're gonna end up doing it, and then they're gonna realize, oh crap. Our school had to pay $500,000 because we rushed the field. It's going to happen during football season. Watch. It's going to happen. All right. Somebody either going to knock out Alabama and Georgia, and they're going to rush the field, and then they're going to forget the school got to pay $500,000 and then be like, damn. It's going to happen during football season. Watch. I'll be surprised if not one incident happens during football season. I'll be surprised. And this is a basketball season. I'm telling you, I'll be surprised if this doesn't happen during football season. But we'll see. We'll see. The American Athletic Conference, the AAC, they'll be taking a postseason tournament to Birmingham, Alabama, and Tampa, Florida. I believe Birmingham is getting it within these next 2 years. And then the 2 years after that would be Tampa, Florida. So that'll be great. The home of the UAB Blazers would be the Birmingham host, and the South Florida Bulls would be the host when it goes to Temple. So congratulations to those schools. And depending on how things go, I might take a trip down to Temple one of them years to cover that. I might. Got to think on that one. Got to think on that one. But last but not least, let's get to it. One of the main things coming from the WNBA. Chicago Sky to retire Candace Parker's number 3 jersey on August 25th. Does the call Scott are set to honor franchise legend and WNBA champion Candace Parker by retiring her jersey on August 25th at the team's game against, not all teams, the Las Vegas Aces. Parker's number 3 jersey will be raised to the Raptors of Wintrust Arena alongside the team's 2021 championship banner. You know, Candace Parker is a native of Chicago, by the way. So, that's I'm pretty sure that's a very great friend for her. But she did speak. She said, quote, growing up in Naperville, playing on courts around here with my brothers and watching Chicago teams like the Bulls, who became synonymous with winning. I never imagined one day my jersey would hang in the rafters of my hometown team. Coming home to Chicago and help bring in the city its first championship here, it was personal. I'm beyond grateful to the city, the fans, and everyone who's been a part of my journey. Chicago raised me, and this will always be home. Close. Shout out to the Chicago Sky doing that thing. They read it 4 years. They read it. They pretty much did what like they do in the Hall of Fame. Give her some time, make sure she's actually done it. And all right, she's done. She's moved on with her life. Basketball is in the past. She's moved on. But we want to say our thanks by hanging her Raptors up. Shout out to y'all. But hometown. She went home, bought them a championship. No problem with that. You know, LeBron James did the same thing. He went back to Cleveland, even though she was drafted by a different team. He went to Cleveland, brought them a championship. That was the hometown team for him. It's very nice when you can go home and bring a championship to that city when they have a sports team in your profession. So this is a great feeling. But here's my thing. LA, what's taking y'all so goddamn long? You were the one who drafted Candace Parker. You were the team, the franchise that Candace Parker became a champion with. So what's taking y'all so long to retire? I don't care who has number 3 on the Sparks currently. They need to give that jersey up so that jersey can be tired in LA Sparks colors. It's taking y'all so long. LA, y'all should have been the first team, the first franchise to do it. I respect Chicago for not wasting no time. All right, we're going to hang you up. Retire your jersey. You did us a favor. A hometown girl gets her first jersey retired in her hometown. Great. Love it. It's a great field story, but I need LA Sparks to hop on board too. Because this journey started with LA. It went to LA, then it went to Chicago, then the Aces. So I need the Sparks to get on their P's and Q's and make sure that her jersey gets retired in LA as well. All right. But I'm happy for Candace. Very deserving. Very, very deserving. That anybody who deserves it, it definitely is Candace Park. Okay. And that's going to do it for Around the Hardwood. All right. We're going to take a break here. Then when we come back, speaking of the WNBA, we're going to recap what they did during the weekend and then prepare for the week that's ahead.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Into the Net FC.
Kylian Mbappe just all of a sudden finally understood his role, and I think he finally understood that everything Kylian Mbappe has accomplished already, you know, there is still a hell of a lot waiting for him in the future. Kylian Mbappe is only 24 years old. He has accomplished so much. And you know what? Kylian Mbappe has not even reached his prime.
Finally seeing, you know, the Marcus Rashford we have been hoping for such a long time, you know. But, you know, this game, you know, after everything Manchester United has been, you know, doing lately, you know, this was actually the ultimate test, you know, to see if Manchester United, you know, honestly was all of a sudden for real.
I explain this. The United States, maybe they have to suffer this loss as a lesson to learn to prepare for the future. Because 4 years from now, the World Cup is in not one, not two, but 3 countries. The United States of America, Canada, and Mexico. Into the Net FC is available on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube.
Get Mouse Entertainment with Paramount Plus. Stream new movies such as Mean Girls, Transformers Rise of the Beast, and Good Burger 2 with Paramount Plus. Stream live sports such as the UEFA Champions League, the NFL on CBS, the PGA Tour, and March Madness. Catch hit CBS shows such as Fire Country, Ghost, NCIS, and more. But also catch exclusive originals for Paramount Plus such as Special Arts Lioness, The Famous Stallones, the new streaming home of Showtime. Watch Showtime original series and movies when you sign up with Paramount Plus with Showtime. make it a fun action-packed adventure for the whole family, and create kid-friendly profiles for the little ones. So much to stream with Paramount Plus, with over 45,000 full episodes from BET, CBS, Comedy Central, MTV, Nickelodeon, and more. Paramount Plus, mountains of entertainment.
Join Ryan McCarthy.
I became a Jets fan because Kermit the Frog was my favorite Muppet because he was green, and the Jets wore green. That's how I become a Jets fan.
And Dustin Henry.
ESPN is cashing all in on let's pay a few personalities and we'll just kind of fill in the gaps.
As they walk you through all of the world of sports from their perspective.
The Albany Empire, it's a literal circus.
No credentials required. Where, Ryan, say the tag.
Where you don't need a press pass to talk sports.
Every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. On YouTube and where you can find all podcasts.
And welcome back to Streaming Lights Out here on this Tuesday, June 3rd, 2025. We are in the sixth month of the year, which means we are in summertime, which means we are closing into on the NBA season, which we'll talk about the NBA finals in our next segment. But in this segment on this show, we are going to talk about the WNBA. Talking about the WNBA, we're gonna look back at what took place on the weekend. Then we're gonna look forward to the week that's ahead, because the WNBA they pick back up action tonight. Okay, tonight, as we say. And as we look forward, let's go already back to Friday, shall we? And we go back to Friday. The Kinetic Suns got their first win of the season. Where they beat the Indiana Fever. They beat the Indiana Fever. 85-83. A high-scoring affair in the WNBA. Very surprising that this happened. Maria Marbury, 26 points, 10 for 17 from the field, 4 for 9 from 3-point range with 5 rebounds, 5 assists. A stunner for the Suns. I didn't expect them to go win this, but I didn't expect them to beat the Indiana Fever even without Caitlin Clark, but somehow they did. Aaliyah Boston led the Fever with 17 points, 5 boards, 8 assists. Man, looking at these numbers doesn't look impressive whatsoever from Indiana. You did get 13 apiece from Kelsey Mitchell and Deron Obama, who was coming off the bench. Sophia Cunningham gave you 10 and before she went down, unfortunately. We'll talk about that. But, yep, the Fever loss. That was their second consecutive loss without Caitlin Clark. They lost to the Misses earlier in during that week. Then we move on. Speaking of the Misses, they hosted the defending champ, the New York Liberty. 85-63 beat down in the nation's capital by the defending champ, Sabrina Ionescu, 28 points. She had 5 assists. She went 9 for 16 from the field, 4 for 11 from 3-point range, and 6 for 6 from the free throw line. My girls, I love our chances going back-to-back. I really do. I love our chances going back-to-back. Natasha Cloud had a didn't really do. She didn't even score. She wanted to score. I didn't score. She, you know, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, about it. Got 14 and 18 from Jonquel Jones. Got 12 and 9 from Phoebus. Stewie gave me 10 with 7 assists. I mean, this team is loaded. This team is stack loaded. It's gonna be, we're gonna be a problem. The only way y'all beat us is everybody on the team is not on. One game is Sabrina. Another game it is Stewie. Then another game is Jonquel Jones. Then another game is Natasha Cloud. I don't know how you're going to beat us. I just don't. I really don't. These girls are clicking. This is bad. Told you. Thank you to the Kinetic. I'm gonna say it again. Thank you, Kinetic Suns, for that trade for Natasha Cloud. Y'all, I don't think y'all understand what y'all did, but I'll get back to that as the season wanes on. The Las Vegas Aces, they got back on the right track. 15-point win over the Los Angeles Sparks. Asia Wilson, 35 big ones. 12 for 18 from the field, 10 for 10. This girl got to the line 10 times, and she hit every single free throw. 13 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks. That's the Asia Wilson we know, who dominates. And you just sit them like, I have no idea what's going on here. Oh, and they got him up, they old friend Kelsey Plum for the first time this season. Well, Kelsey Plum had 17 points and 3 assists against her former team, her first time seeing her former team. Man, that. So Jewel Lloyd, her first time seeing her former team, took her L. Now Kelsey Plum, her first time seeing her former team, takes an L. Wow. And then the Minnesota Lynx went up against the Phoenix Mercury. That was a game I was looking forward to because I'm like, this is going to be good. And it sure was, 74-71. Kelly McBride's officially back with the team, gave you 20 points, 4 assists. Elena Smith, 19 points with 4 boards and 4 blocks. Nafisa Kai didn't have to do much in this one. She had what? Actually, Nafisa Kai didn't even play in this game. I give us a rest day for Nafisa Kai. I forgot. It's another game she played. I'm looking at. Satu Sabli led the way from the Phoenix Mercury, 26 points with 11 boards. The Mercury, they did not have Alyssa Thomas. They still don't have Kalia Koppel, who's still nursing that knee injury. Man, Minnesota and New York look like they're on a collision course to meet again in the finals. And the way Minnesota's been playing, they want blood. The problem is we got a dog in Natasha Cloud to help us out. And then finally on Friday, we had the Atlanta Dream take down the Seattle Storm 94-87. Ryan Howard, 33 points from Ryan Howard. 6 boards and 5 assists. Alicia Gray also added 28 points with 4 boards. These two ladies combined for, my mouth serves me correctly, 61 points of the 94. If Ryan Howard can stay this consistent with a performance like this, Atlanta would be something dangerous. But that's the problem. She's not consistent like this. Because in a very nice game, she probably can go for 10 points. And you'd be like, bro, you just coming off hitting 33. You going to come back and give me 10? That's Ryan Howard. But Alicia Gray, she'll get you'll get 28 from her. You'll get 17 from her. You'll get 20 from her. Like Alicia Gray, she will make sure she's put on for the team. Ryan Howard is too inconsistent for me. And cool, if you're watching, well, cool, I already know this, but if Ryan Howard will stay consistent, Atlanta would be a problem. Just saying, they're gonna be a problem this year anyway. They're 5-2 on the season. But if Ryan Howard would stay consistent and put up the numbers that we know she can put up, Atlanta would be a major problem come postseason. But it depends if Ryan Howard wants to be that girl. Do you want to be that girl? Asia Wilson showed her she's that girl. Nafisa Kai is showing she's that girl. Breanna Stewart Ben showed y'all she's that girl. Okay. If Ryan Howard wants to join that group, she needs to be that girl night in, night out for the Atlanta Dream. That's it. That's pretty much it. From Friday to Saturday. Saturday we had the Chicago Sky going to Dallas and beat the Dallas Wings 94-83. Aria Atkins. Maybe this is the game that she needed to get herself comfortable with Chicago. This is the Aria Atkins that was in Washington. 26 points, 8 for 14 from the field, 4 from 8 from 3-point range, 6 from 8 from the free throw line, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 steals. That's the Aria Atkins that played for the Washington Mystics. Maybe this is the game where she can step up now. Maybe this is the game that gets her comfortable with the system in Chicago. This is why when we saw that trade, I was like, ooh. Aria Atkins along with Angel Reese, Camila Cardoso, ooh, okay. Chicago might have something. They might have something here. Now, if Chicago can get that Aria Atkins consistently, the wheels could be the tide could turn for the Chicago Sky. Because Angel Reese gave you 14-9. I think the problem is with the Sky, aside the fact that we can get Aria Atkins to be that consistent like she was against the Wings, how can we get Carmella Cardoza and Angel Reese to both still put up big numbers together? Because when Carmella Cardoza put up a big number, Angel Reese doesn't do nothing. When Angel Reese put up the big numbers, Carmella Cardoza doesn't do nothing. When can we get these two to put up the big numbers together? When can we start seeing Carmella Cardoza and Angel Reese both get double doubles in the same game consistently? Because y'all two should be the twin towers of the WNBA. Like, seriously. Angel Reese and Carmella Cardoza should be the twin towers of the WNBA. Like, when teams come play y'all, they should know they got to come in and deal with y'all two. We gotta work something out here, because that inside game should be something to be dealing with, but it's not. It's not something to be dealing with. It's pretty much Angel Reese with the 18, 17, the 16 rebound games, and Carmella Cardoza be around here with 5, 3, maybe 8 on a good day. No, we need more. I need more from Carmella Cardoza. I need better finishing from Angel Reese. You 4 for 13, Angel. Come on, that's less than 1/3, which is less than 33%. Like, come on, Angel. I need you to be more efficient on your shots, on your layups, on your mid range. I watched you work on it. Why is it not coming up? That's my issue with Angel. And Carmella, I need you involved. I don't need you getting discouraged. I need you to find a way to make yourself involved into the game and make some things happen. Nevertheless, they did get the dub. They got the dub on Saturday. That was the lone game on Saturday. We had a quadruple header on Sunday, June 1st, which is the beginning of Commissioner's Cup. And those of you who probably don't know what a Commissioner's Cup is, it's pretty much the the WNBA's version of the NBA's in-season tournament. But the WNBA Ben did this, okay? The NBA copy off them. So the Commissioner's Cup is up for grabs, where the Minnesota Lynx are the last year's champions. And to begin it off, the aforementioned Kinetic Suns took the trip to Barclays Center to face off against the champs. And they got their ass whooped. 152. Actually, I think we're the first team to score 100 this damn season. Let me go do some research. Right, we might be the first team that scored 100 this season. Goddamn. Now I'm thinking about it. Oh, no, the Dallas Wings, they scored 109 against the Canadian Suns back on May 27th. So. And then the Storms scored 102 against the Aces on the 25th of May. So now we want the first team to score 100. Dang, I thought we was the first team to score 100. Nope. The Storms and the Wings both did it for us. God dog it. All right. Well, we got the largest margin of we got the second largest margin of victory in WNBA history, 48 points. Sabrina Nescu, 18. I don't think y'all understand how ridiculous this team is. We scored 100 points, and our leading scorer for the game is Sabrina Nescu with 18. John Cora Jones, Brianna Stewart, Lauren Phoebus all each score 13 points. Everybody who touched the game for us put the ball in the bucket some form or scored in some form or fashion. I won't say put the ball in the bucket, but they scored in some form from some fashion. That is amazing that our leading scorer can score 18 points and we drop 100. Everybody was at the table Sunday. Sunday dinner was served to everybody on the New York Liberty. Everybody got to eat. Natasha Cloud only had 8 points. Like, she was perfect. 3 for 3 from the field, 2 for 2 from 3-point range. Again, thank you, Kinetic Sun. Spoil that trade for Natasha Cloud. to have that, to score that many points and have that many players, which is what? I started 5, then you had Harrison, Burt, Grinder, Johannesson, Sharwood, Davis. 11 players played in the game, and all 11 scored. Tell me, y'all better be aware. New York might be going back to back. Then after that, the Phoenix Mercury, they took a trip to sunny California and took down the LA Sparks 85-80 and saw two Sobley, 24 points, 9 boards, 4 steals. I'm trying to tell y'all. When I did my top 5, she was in my top 5 for a reason. I was not joking. I hope y'all seeing this. Satu Sobley will be the face of the Phoenix Mercury. Not Khalil Copeland, not Alyssa Thomas. Satu Sobley will be the face of the Phoenix Mercury because she is that damn good. See, I didn't hear about her last year because she was injured last year. That's why. But man, this girl is balling. And by the way, all 5 starters for the Phoenix Mercury all scored in double figures, which is something that you do not want when you're the home team. You do not want the visit team have all 5 starters scoring in double figures. That's just something you don't want, okay? And that was without Alyssa Thomas because she was out with the left calf injury. Everybody that started scored. We talking 10, 15, 11, 15, along with Satu Sobley's 24. Y'all better pay attention to Phoenix. I've been trying to warn y'all. Y'all better pay attention to Phoenix. Don't push them to the side. They 5-2 right now. Tell me. That's a team. It was in my top 5 for a reason. Of course, you were going to have New York Liberty number 1. Of course, we were going to have Minnesota number 2. Of course, the number 3 was going to be the Las Vegas Aces. And then number 4 was going to be Indiana because of Caitlin Clark. But who's going to be that fifth one? I went with Phoenix. There's a reason why. I saw what they did. I said, oh, Phoenix is going to be a problem. Seattle's trying to come up. Atlanta's also 5-2. They trying to make some noises as well, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to pick Phoenix. Phoenix is making me look good thus far. And speaking of the Seattle Storm in Las Vegas, they met again. And this time, it didn't go the way that it went the first time. Aces get payback, 75-70. AJ Wilson, 19 points. Not a very good shooting game, 9 for 22, but she did have 7 boards, 3 assists, 3 steals, and 4 blocks. But she said, damn it, the offensive game ain't going in. I just do it on the defense and the transition to offense. That's why we called her the number 1 player in the game. But right now, Nafisa Kali is coming for that title. If you looking for an MVP frontrunner, that would be Nafisa Kali. But the current number 1 player is Asia Wilson until Nafisa Collier captures that MVP, which he's well on what we're doing right now. Last time they faced off, Nneka Ogumike went off. Now in this game, 9 points, 4 for 13 shooting. She did have 8 boards, though. The Aces went to the drawing board and said, all right, y'all smacked us in the mouth the first time we met. Y'all would not do it again. And they handled business. And then the Minnesota Lynx, speaking of the front runner for MVP, Nafisa Kari, 24 points, 11 boards, 4 assists. Courtney Williams joined the party as well with 20 points, 5 boards, 5 assists as they met up with the new expansion team, the Golden State Rockets, for the first time. And they handled business. Golden State was hanging with them for a good minute. Got to a point where you might thought Golden State might pull off one of the biggest upsets in WNBA history. But when you have Nafisa Kaya and Courtney Williams on her game, that's kind of hard to do. That's kind of hard to overcome, which it was for the Valkyries. But hey, they making some headway. You know, they are in some of these games. They are competing. They are competing. I would give the Valkyries that. Despite not having the big names, they are competing with some of the best teams out there. They met the Liberty twice. First time it was an ass beating. The second time going around, 5-point win for the Liberty. Okay. You know, they lost to the Sparks opening night by one. They came back. They went to LA and beat the Sparks. So, you know, they're competing. That's all you want. They're competing. They're not winning a lot of games, but they're competing. And that's what you want to see. And that was how the weekend went in the WNBA. But now we are back at it tonight. Here are your upcoming tonight. We're back at it with a triple header, with one game being on NBA TV, one game being on ESPN, and the other one you can catch on ESPN3. And this is what we got on tap. We have on NBA TV at 7 p.m. the Washington Mystics at Indiana to take on the Fever, who will be out Caitlin Clark and Sophia Cunningham for this game. That's going to be interesting. Last time these two met, they was the first game without Caitlin Clark, and the Mystics won that game. Can Aaliyah Boston and the Fever, can they do something to turn this around until Caitlin Clark comes back? Then on ESPN3 at 8 o'clock, the Phoenix Mercury and the Minnesota Lynx, they do battle. Nafisa Carter versus Satu Sabli. That's going to be a juicy matchup to watch between them two. And I think both of them were 24, by the way. Makes it even more interesting. And then 9:30 on ESPN, the Dallas Wings, they are in the Pacific Northwest to take on the Seattle Storm. And I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, the Dallas Wings will not have Paige Beckers for this game because I think she's out with a concussion, if I remember correctly. Trying to remember. Let me make sure. Yep. Concussion. So she got to go through concussion protocol before she can return. So Owike Ogunbowale was going to have to lead the charge for the Dallas Wing against Skylar Diggins-Smith and Skylar Diggins, shall I say, not the Smith part, and the Seattle Storm. Tonight, these three games are on tonight. All three games are watchable. NBA TV, ESPN3, and ESPN. Wednesday. No, we'll skip Wednesday. We go straight to Thursday. We have a doubleheader on Thursday. Both on Amazon Prime Video, beginning at 7:30, when the reigning defending champs head back to D.C. to face off against the Washington Mystics. And then after that, at 10 p.m., the Golden State Valkyries, they meet with the Phoenix Mercury for the first time this season. So some action to get you started tonight and Thursday as the Commissioner's Cup for the WNBA is underway. Another break here, then when we come back, we get ready to talk finals, the NBA finals.
Everything Boston. I love you, you morons. You kiss on the block, new edition.
Dear whatever the law firm is. Sincerely, the U.S. Supreme Court.
Ben Affleck, Matt Damon. Go yourself again, Jason.
In a world where chronicles of the past are brought to the streams, whether the content is relatable or completely beyond your realm of life, there is no shadow of a doubt that this show is absolutely full of shenanigans. Get ready for
D. Willie in the Evening
this Sunday at 10:05 p.m. Eastern,
exclusively on Sertoba Media. Where the struggle is real to be awesome.
Shop hats and official sports gear at Lids. Lids is the leader and number one destination for hats, gears, and everything that moves you, making it the perfect shop for fans to find official sports hats, merchandise, and gear. Represent your team, your town, and your style with a snapback adjustable fitted hat or beanie. from thousands of college and pro teams. Browse the very latest sports jerseys and t-shirts from the best teams out there. Lids has officially licensed professional and college sport team apparel and hats featuring the hottest brands and trends. Shop online or visit one of the 100 stores across the country.
All right, welcome back to Shooting the Lights Out here. We got through the NBA now. We got to talk major things because it is the NBA Finals. They begin Thursday. We'll get to that. But how did we get to the NBA Finals? Let's take a trip back down Liberty Lane just last week. Minnesota Timberwolves and the Oklahoma City Thunder began off in the Western Conference Finals. And in Game 5, the Oklahoma City Thunder put an ass whooping, and I do mean an ass whooping, on the Minnesota Timberwolves. 124-104. 26-9 was the score after the first quarter. That's when you looked at it and says, yep, this is it. This is over. Minnesota is not there. You see the numbers. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 34 points. 7 boards, 8 assists. Chet Holmgren had some fun as well with 22 points, 7 boards, 3 blocks. It was an ass-whooping that Minnesota would never forget because y'all didn't show up ready to go. Julius Randle, 24 points, 5 boards. Ant-Man Anthony Edwards, 19 points, 6 boards. Mike Conley only took 3 shots, did not score at all. Rudy Gobert, 1 shot for 2 points, 5 boards. Jaden McDaniels, 5 points. Those your starters from the Minnesota Timberwolves. It wasn't there. Wasn't there. So yet again, the Timberwolves bowed in the Western Conference Finals. Last year it was Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks. This time it is SGA and the Oklahoma City Thunder. I do like what Ant-Man said during his post game conference. He'll be fine. He's good, but he is sad for the people, the Mike Conleys of the world, who's been around for a very long time and still plays the best that he can play. But Ant-Man has time. But Ant-Man, I want you to know something, sir. At some point, y'all need to show up in the Western Conference Finals. This is 2 years in a row. You got your ass whooped in the Western Conference Finals. Wasn't even a series in neither one. Matter of fact, I think last year Western Conference Final ended in 5, if I remember correctly. Yeah. The Dallas Mavericks beat the Minnesota Timberwolves in 5 games. And that year, the Timberwolves had home court advantage, which means that Dallas Mavericks went to Minnesota and knocked them off, and they own building. So not only that, it's back-to-back 5 game exits. Gentlemen sweeps in the U.S. Finals for the Minnesota Timberwolves. So, yes. And, man, I do love what you said, but you need to know something. People on them going away for so long for you to get over that hump. As MJ. As Kobe. As LeBron. As Steph Curry. At some point, people are going to clamor for you to get over the hump. We need to see you in the NBA Finals. That's going to come a point in time when people are going to start saying that to you, sir. If they ain't start saying it now, because there are people out there that are impatient. But for me, sir, 3 years. I give you 3. Within the next 3 years, 2025-2026 season, 2026-27 season, 2027-2028. By the time we get to 2028, I need to see Ant-Man in the finals. I need to see Ant-Man in the finals. You got the swag. You got the game. You got the personality, the charisma. We need to see it on. We need to see it manifest into a finals appearance. We need to see it manifest into a NBA Finals appearance by 2028, sir. For me, 2028. Cole Johnson might have a different timeline for you. Me, I'm giving you 3 years. But for SGA, congratulations, who is the Magic Johnson Western Conference Finals MVP recipient. I mean, the dude scored like 30 points almost every game they won. Man, look at this. If you won a game in this series, you scored over 110. If you lost this game, you scored less than 102. Or 104 shots, 105 shots. Look at this. 114 to 88, 118 to 103, 143 to 101, 128 to 126, 124 to 94. If you reach 120s or the 110s, you won the game. So Oklahoma City, back in the finals since 2012. Who would meet them in the Eastern Conference final? Who would meet them in the Bay Finals? From the East side, when the Pacers and the Knicks got at it. The Knicks survived game five, but they went to Indiana for game six. 125 to 108. Pascal Siakam, 31 nasty points. 10 for 18 from the field, 8 from 11 for the free throw line with 5 boards, 3 assists, 3 blocks. Tyrese Halliburton, who came alive in the fourth quarter. 21 points, 6 rebounds, 13 assists, 3 steals. I believe he scored 11 of his 21 points in the fourth quarter. And Pascal Siakam took home the Larry Bird Eastern Conference MVP trophy. Rightfully so, because he was the main consistent person in the Eastern Conference Finals, to be quite honest with you. Tyrese Halliburton mainly did his damage in the fourth quarter. Being one of the most clutch players in these playoffs. Yet again, I still haven't heard from the NBA players. Is Tyrese Halliburton still overrated? Still haven't heard back from the NBA players yet. I'm still waiting to hear back from them. I've been asking for like 3 straight weeks. Is Tyrese Halliburton still overrated? I haven't heard nothing yet. Maybe they biting their words. Maybe they are. But the Indiana Pacers got it done in 6. This is how they got it done in 6. Taking both games from Madison Square Garden to begin the series, by the way. Then you split in Indiana. New York went back to Madison Square Garden to defend home court. And then Indiana said, I will see you defending your home court to defending our home court. And that's what happened. It took them Saturday to finish off the series. OKC, they finished the season on Wednesday. But the NBA Finals don't start till Thursday. And here we are, the NBA Finals. The Indiana Pacers and the Oklahoma City Thunder square off to be crowned champion. One of these franchises will be hanging their first ever championship banner. The Pacers have never won it. They've been there before. I think the Pacers have been, I think that's probably the only time they've been there, if I remember correctly. That's all I want. Let me do some live research. Live research here. Yep. The only time was with Reggie Miller. That's the only time the Indiana Pacers been to the NBA Finals. It is with Reggie Miller back in 2000 when they got beat by the Lakers. I believe that was in 5. The Oklahoma City Thunder, they are back in the NBA Finals for the first time since 2012. In 2012, if I remember correctly, and this is their second appearance in the NBA Finals. And, of course, I know they are formerly known as the Seattle Storm. I mean, the Seattle Supersonics. But we're talking strictly Oklahoma City Thunder. A second appearance. They are looking to raise that banner up in Oklahoma City for the first time. Here's the schedule beginning Thursday, 8:30 p.m. Every game, games 1 through 7, if we go 7 games, are on ABC. You can also watch it on YouTube TV as well. 8:30. Game 2 will be Sunday, 8 p.m. And then after that, games 3, 4, 5, and 6, if we get that far, we all be at 8:30. And if there is a game 7, June 22nd, Sunday, 8 p.m. So if we do go 7, it will end on a Sunday, which means everybody will have a pleasure of watching who gets crowned champion if we can go 7. If we can go 7. But here are your betting numbers going into this game for game 1 on Thursday. Oklahoma City, 9.5-point favorite. Yeah. Matter of fact, let me check that again. Because that number's still 9.5. That's very interesting. That means they don't believe in Indiana whatsoever. Nope, that's the correct number. 9.5. Thunder. Those are your betting odds. They are looking at OKC. That's going to be interesting. And for me, I got Oklahoma City. And I'm thinking 5 right about now. I just think the defense that OKC plays with might be too much for Indiana to deal with. You saw what they did to Minnesota. Okay. You saw what they did to the Denver Nuggets, even though the Denver Nuggets took them to 6. Jokic, superstar. Ant-Man, superstar. They had one in Minnesota, Jamal Murray and Julius Randle. The star for the Indiana is Tyrese Haliburton, and his running mate is Pascal Siakam. How can Pascal Siakam and Miles Turner deal with Chet Holmgren and Isaiah Hartenstein? How would Tyrese Haliburton handle the multitude of players Oklahoma City can throw at them with a Luke Dort? I believe Luke Dort would be starting off on Tyrese Haliburton. Can Andrew Nembhard contain Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? I just think OKC is that team this year. Indiana feel like the team of destiny. Rick Carlisle said after winning it. But can Indiana hang with OKC? That is the question. Jalen Williams hasn't had a stellar playoff in these playoffs. He will also be tasked of guarding Tyrese Haliburton at times too. So that's another one. OKC is too damn deep. Jeez. If Indiana can make it to 6 games, they have a shot. But making it to 6 is difficult for me to see right now. Because OKC is too deep. And their defensive tenacity is, I think it's too much for Indiana. I really do. I could be wrong. I've been wrong several times. You know, I'm the one that was on here saying that New York's going to take 3 ass with them and get their ass whooped by Boston Celtics. Well, they did take 3 ass with them, but they came back for 2 of them and sent the Boston Celtics home. So I have been wrong before. It ain't like I have a spotless record when I do this. But for me, from what I've seen from Indiana and OKC, I don't see Indiana beating Oklahoma City 3 times. I don't even see them beating Oklahoma City twice. I could be wrong. I could get 6 games. I just don't see it. Give me OKC. Give me 5 games. And I'm calling that a day. That's all I got. Okay? That is all I got for today. Thank y'all for tuning in. Thank y'all for watching. We'll be back, thank you, next Monday. By then, we'll be 2 games into the NBA Finals. We'll recap both games to see how it differs from game 1 to game 2, if there's any differential whatsoever in these 2 games. And then also look at the WNBA, see what's going on, and give you an update on the Commissioner's Cup race for that. And if Nafisa Kite is still front runner for the MVP at this moment in time, and when is Caitlin Clark coming back for the Indiana Fever because they need it? And will the defending champs New York Liberty continue to roll people as they've been doing? Until then, I am the Playmaker signing off. Y'all have a good one.
But you can't stop here. You can't stop now. You gotta keep going. Through all your trials and your tribulations, you gotta keep pushing. Now, finish your campaign.
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go, gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Thank you for tuning in today's episode. If you want to follow the podcast, you can follow it on all streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and a whole lot more. This has been Shooting the Lights Out.
Masterpiece.